You know that feeling when you're faced with something just massive, like maybe assembling some ridiculously complicated piece of furniture or wading through a dense report, and you just wish someone had broken it down into like smaller, easier steps? Well, that same idea, that craving for simplicity when things get complex, that's exactly what we're exploring today in the world of computer programming. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're getting into something that's honestly a bit of a superpower for software developers: modularity of code. We'll be focusing specifically on functions and procedures. It's basically how programmers take potentially chaotic, huge programs and turn them into something, well, elegant and efficient.
Absolutely. And our mission for this deep dive is really to unpack what modularity is, and maybe more importantly, why it's such a huge benefit. Not just for the coders, but really for anyone wanting to understand how robust software actually gets built. We'll demystify the core parts, functions, procedures, and how they communicate using parameters. So whether you're deep in code yourself, leading a tech team, or honestly just curious about how the apps on your phone work, this one's definitely for you.
Okay, so let's unpack that because at first glance, breaking a program down might seem counterintuitive. I mean, why add extra steps or separate bits when you could just write one long piece of code? What's the actual payoff?
Yeah, that's a really fundamental question. And the payoff is, well, it's immense. It all comes down to this idea of modular programming. Think of it as a design strategy, really. It emphasizes separating out the program's different jobs into independent, almost like plug-and-play modules. It's about taking a big problem and dividing it into smaller, more manageable sub-problems or sub-programs. And the advantages are pretty game-changing. First up, and maybe the biggest one, is code reuse. This isn't just about typing less, though that's nice. It means you build a piece of functionality once, you test it, make sure it's rock solid, and then you can use that exact same piece of code again and again wherever you need it.
Like building blocks.
Exactly, like having a perfect little engine. You design it once, get it just right, and then you can drop that same engine into a car, maybe a boat, even a generator, without starting from scratch each time. This just massively speeds up development and cuts down on errors when you start something new.
I like that engine analogy. Makes total sense. If you've got a reliable part, you use it. And I guess that makes working together easier too.
Precisely. That flows right into the next benefit: easier design and collaboration. When a program's modular, different people or even small teams can focus on just one small, well-defined piece of the puzzle. So you can have multiple programmers working on different modules at the same time without, tripping over each other's work. Imagine building a house. You don't have everyone trying to do the plumbing and the wiring and the framing all at once. You have specialists working in parallel.
Okay, that makes sense.
And beyond teamwork, it also makes the code itself much easier to read and understand. Improved readability. When code is split into these focused modules, the logic is just clearer. You're not lost in one giant scroll of text. Each part does one thing. And that clarity leads directly to simplified debugging. If something goes wrong, an error pops up.
You know where to look.
Exactly. You don't have to sift through the entire program. You can usually isolate the problem to a specific module pretty quickly because the errors tend to be localized.
Right, it contains the blast radius, so to speak.
Perfectly put. It's like having a really well-organized toolbox. You need a screwdriver, you go to the screwdriver section, not rummage through one giant bin.
Yeah, okay. And I saw our source material also mention things like flexible storage, storing code in different files, which sounds like good organization. And something called controlled variable scope. That sounds a bit more technical, but I suspect it's important for avoiding chaos.
Definitely. We'll dig into scope a bit later. It's crucial for keeping things neat and preventing unexpected side effects. It's a subtle but powerful benefit.
Okay, so we know why breaking things down is good, but what do we actually call these pieces, these building blocks? Our sources talk about two main types, functions and procedures.
That's right. And while sometimes developers might use the terms a bit loosely in everyday chat, when we're talking about software design principles, they have distinct roles. A procedure essentially is a block of code that does something. It performs an action. It might take some data in, carry out a specific task, like maybe printing output to the screen or saving data or updating something, and then it's finished its job.
Okay, so it's like giving an instruction.
Yeah, pretty much. It might send a result back if another part needs it, but often its main purpose is just to perform that task. Think of it as a specialist worker executing a command.
Gotcha. And functions.
A function, on the other hand, is specifically designed to calculate something and then give you back a result, usually a single result. Our source material defines it as taking information in and returning a single piece of information.
Ah, the single return is key.
It is, traditionally. Now, some languages like Python are a bit more flexible. They can return multiple things. But the core concept, especially in this context, is that a function answers a question. You give it inputs, it does some computation or logic, and it hands you back the answer. Its purpose is calculation and return.
Okay, that distinction feels really important. Procedure does, function returns. Let's make this super clear. We've got a great example from the materials. Calculating the area of a rectangle. If you weren't using modularity, you just have one block of code, right? Ask for length, ask for breadth, multiply, print. Simple, maybe, but messy for bigger things.
Exactly. But the modular version in our source material breaks this down beautifully into three separate pieces. It really highlights the difference.
Okay, walk us through it.
All right. First, there's a piece called getDetails.
This is identified as a function.
Why a function?
Because its job is to get information and return it. It prompts the user for the length and breadth, and then it returns those values back to the part of the program that called it. The program gets something from it.
Okay.
Often in code, you'd see something like length, breadth, getDetails. That assignment shows it's giving values back. Then you have calcarial, B, also a function.
Because it calculates.
Precisely. It takes in the length, let's call it L, and the breadth, B. It performs the calculation, area, ADB, and critically, it then returns that single calculated area value. It computes and hands back the result.
Right.
And finally, there's dysperia. Okay. This one is a procedure.
Why a procedure? Because its only job is to take the calculated area, A, and display it. It just prints something like the area is, followed by the value. It performs an action displaying info, but it doesn't return a value back to the main program to be used in further calculations. Its task is complete once the display happens.
That makes it crystal clear. GetDetails and calcarial give you something back to work with functions. Dysperia just does a procedure. Clear roles. So we have these separate pieces, functions and procedures, doing their jobs. But how do they talk to each other? How does Calcarion know the length and breadth that GetDetails found? You mentioned it's like they need a secret handshake. Parameters.
That's the perfect analogy. Parameters are the handshake. Our source defines a parameter as a special kind of variable used to pass information between functions or procedures and the actual info being passed. That's called an argument.
Okay, parameter is the variable. Argument is the value.
Basically, yeah. And parameters come in two main types. First, formal parameters. These are the variable names you see in the definition of the function or procedure. They're like placeholders. So in our calcarial example, the definition might look like def calcarial b. Here, l and b are the formal parameters. They signal this function needs a length and a breadth to work.
Right. They define the inputs required.
Exactly. Then you have actual parameters. These are the real values or variables you provide when you actually call the function or procedure.
Hmm.
So if your main code says result, calcaria, length value, breadth value, then length value and breadth value are the actual parameters. They hold the real numbers, like 10 and 5, that calcaria will use.
I see. Formal is the template. Actual is the real data being sent.
You got it. Think of formal parameters like the slots on a form and actual parameters like the information you write into those slots.
And this passing of information, this dance between formal and actual parameters, is what lets these separate modules work together without needing to know everything about each other.
Absolutely critical. It keeps them independent but connected. They only need to agree on the contract, what information goes in, parameters, and what comes out, return value, for functions. It keeps the whole system much cleaner and more manageable.
Okay, that leads us back to something you mentioned earlier, keeping things tidy with variable scope. You said it was about visibility.
Exactly. Scope basically defines where in your program a particular variable could be seen or used. It's all about controlling access and preventing unintended consequences.
Like, who gets to see what data?
Precisely. And this brings us to the two main types, local variables and global variables. Local variables are confined. They exist only inside the specific function or procedure where they are created. When that function starts, the local variable might be created. When the function finishes, poof, it disappears.
So other parts of the program can't just reach in and grab it.
Nope. Not unless that data is explicitly passed out using a return statement or passed in via a parameter. This makes modules really self-contained and, frankly, safer. Changes inside one function using its local variables cannot accidentally mess up variables in a completely different part of the program.
Ah, the good fences making good neighbors idea again.
That's a great way to put it. It also means modules are more portable, You can potentially reuse them elsewhere without worrying about hidden dependencies. And they're memory efficient because they only exist when needed.
Okay, local sounds good. What about global?
Global variables are the opposite. They are declared outside of any specific function and can be accessed and potentially changed by any function or procedure anywhere in the program.
That sounds easier.
Maybe. It can seem easier at first glance. Just declare it once, use it everywhere.
Yeah.
But, and this is the big but, our source material strongly warns against relying on them, especially in complex programs.
Why's that?
Because it creates hidden dependencies and risks. Imagine you have a global variable holding, say, a user's score. Some function over here modifies it. Then another function, maybe completely unrelated, accidentally modifies it again or resets it at the wrong time.
Nightmare to debug.
Exactly. Tracking down which part of your program caused the unexpected change can be incredibly difficult. Globals make the code harder to understand, harder to maintain, and much more prone to really subtle, hard-to-find bugs.
So the takeaway is, use parameters to pass data explicitly, rely on local variables inside your modules, and generally steer clear of globals unless absolutely necessary.
That's the best practice, definitely. It leads to much more predictable, maintainable, and robust code. It's about clear communication channels, parameters, and keeping internal work private. Local scope.
Okay, this is all fitting together nicely. To really cement it, let's briefly look at that other example from our materials, the one for calculating circle dimensions.
Ah, yes, the circle program. It's another excellent illustration of these concepts in action.
How so?
Well, just like the rectangle example, it breaks the problem down. You see multiple functions being used for the calculations. There's get diameter, which is a function because it asks the user for input and returns that diameter value. Then calcrates d, which takes the diameter d as a parameter and returns the calculated radius, then calcircumr and calcarrier, both functions taking the radius r as a parameter and returning the circumference and area respectively. Each one calculates and gives back a single piece of information.
So lots of functions doing the math.
Right. And then, to show the results, it uses a procedure called DRCAA, D-R-C-A-A.
A procedure because?
Because it takes all those calculated values, diameter, radius, circumference, areas as parameters, and its only job is to display them nicely for the user. It performs the action of outputting the results, but it doesn't return any value for further calculation.
Got it. It does the showing, not more calculating.
Exactly. And the whole example beautifully shows that flow. GetDiameter returns a value used as an argument for calcRadius, whose return value is used as an argument for calcCircum and calcArea. And finally, all those results are passed as arguments to the DISResults procedure.
It really highlights how breaking it down makes the flow of data so much clearer and more controlled, doesn't it? Much less chance of things getting tangled up.
Precisely. It makes the whole solution far more manageable, easier to test, and just fundamentally more robust.
So, quite a journey today. We started with this idea of modularity, just breaking things down. We unpacked the why code reuse, collaboration, readability, debugging. Then we got into the what functions that return values, procedures that perform tasks. We saw how they talk using parameters, both formal and actual. And we touched on scope why local variables are generally preferred over globals for keeping things tidy and predictable. It really is the secret sauce for building complex software reliably.
It absolutely is. And, you know, while we focused on code, this core idea of breaking down complexity into manageable, interconnected parts, it's not just for programmers. It's a really powerful problem-solving approach for, well, almost anything. Think about a big project you might have, maybe a tough decision, or even just planning your week. How could thinking modularly help? Identifying the distinct pieces, figuring out what each piece needs and what it produces, tackling them one by one. It might just help you get to your goal more effectively and maybe with a bit less stress. Something to think about.